Welcome in to Arrowhead Pride Radio.
And Mahomes is on fire!
Here's the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens.
Championship week is over. Now it's big game week on Arrowhead Pride on a Wednesday night, February 1st, baby. 5 years ago, the Super Bowl already happened today. Now here we are, man. We are, it's now midway through February, Daddy. And here we are on Arrowhead Pride Radio. Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Chris Nocero pushing all the right things. Been in the back? I don't know why I just said that. He's not in the back. He's literally at the side. You ready to go to Arizona? You ready to do this?
Yeah, this should be a fun couple weeks here. I think that in the grand scheme of things, I think it's annoying that this game takes so long and into mid-February, but in this micro where the Kansas City Chiefs are just heavily injured, it's probably a very good thing that there's 13 days before the game.
So let's just play hypothetical really fast. Because there is an injury report, so we do get to get into that a little bit, which is interesting, because that's got everybody's head in a knot, is the injury report. So we'll get into that real quick, but and then we'll get into our main story. But my thing is if they win on Sunday, February 12th, right?
Mm-hmm.
February 14th,
yeah.
Valentine's Day, is probably the day of the parade, correct?
No.
They won't do it on that Tuesday?
The Wednesday.
They'll do the Wednesday. They've already announced that.
I don't know if it's announced, but that's typically how it goes.
Because that's a great out, Daddy, if you want to get out of Valentine's Day. Hey, well, I got to go to the parade.
Even if it is Wednesday, which I believe it is.
3 days after the after the game? Because I thought they did it on a
You could say that I need to, you know, I need to
plan accordingly.
Sleep early to get out to the parade. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's just, I just kind of thought about it. So we're thinking Wednesday is what Pete Sweeney is. Because the parade, man, the parade's kind of awesome. Speaking of kind of awesome.
You're going to go out there?
Of course. Oh, yeah. This time I think I'll actually try to make it to Union Station. Because last time I was right at the corner where they made their last turn. And I got this close to touching the Super Bowl trophy, the Lombardi trophy.
You going
to
touch it this time?
I would have if Gary Lezak would have taken three more steps towards us.
Did he have it?
He had it in his hands.
They gave the Lombardi trophy to Gary?
On God.
Wow.
He had it in his hand. He goes, which side wants to touch it? And he like walked close to us. And I was like, Gary, bring it over. Bring it over. And he got like four steps away. And then he turned around and went to the other side. And then he put it back on the bus. But... Yep, wow. I got to see the quarterback of the future.
Give me the trophy, not the weather. You know what I mean?
Well, he can't do that anymore. New guy in the position. Gary Lee's like out. Even though he tweets still like he's a live weatherman, which is kind of hilarious.
He's in the weather biz. He's doing some long weather.
So this Super Bowl that comes up, or the big game, or the Champions Classic, whatever they want to call it, What's the more intriguing storyline for you? Because there's four that I can think of.
You have four.
I have four. You have the two first ever African-American quarterbacks who went head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
You have the two youngest quarterbacks to ever go head-to-head. I guess you could tie that together. The Kelce brothers Super Bowl, the Andy Reid poetic justice Super Bowl is the other one. Which one of those is the biggest to you? Because I think it's between Andy Reid and Travis Kelce, which will take, or the Kelce Bowl and the Andy Reid Bowl, I think we'll take the league by storm. I'm going to talk about it at 7, but I'd like to know your opinion.
I think the least important is the youngest players, right? Because that feels like it's the easiest to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
I think eventually we'll see that broken where a younger player might make it. I think as far as history goes, right, the two black quarterbacks facing each other feels like the most important and certainly a sign of the changing of times and of times to come. I think when you're looking back at history, that's where Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce, two brothers facing each other, and then Andy Reid come in, where you're remembering what Andy did in Philly and was able to do again in Kansas City. And I've said it a few times. I think what's so impressive about that is he's basically had two Hall of Fame careers with each franchise. You know, we look at Belichick as the best head coach, but Andy Reid's kind of done it twice here where he's had those two. So I think that's a very cool aspect as well.
So you like Andy Reid and the turnaround, because I feel like the Doug Peterson thing was a little, you know, like, hey, here's Andy Reid. You didn't win it. Philadelphia won it without you. Oh, and they won it with your prodigy. Like, that's, I think, Philly's had their kind of at you, Andy Reid. And now I think it serves great. Even though the Chiefs still a point and a half underdog.
Well, I think what's more interesting for the Philadelphia side this time around is that Jalen Hurts is a career guy there, right? Mm-hmm. They really had this Cinderella-style run. And even after it, they got rid of Doug, as you mentioned. And mm-hmm. Howie Roseman, even coming into the season, there were some serious questions. I believe that the Eagles coming into the year were 13th as far as odds to win the Super Bowl. So this needed to happen for that organization, for them to stay intact. And they were able to get it done. He's built a nice team over there. But it's a little bit different because of Hurts and not Foles. You kind of get this feeling on the Philly side that they're not going anywhere to an extent. The Chiefs have already established that. And so I also think it's two teams, and this is another storyline, that have had recent Super Bowls. You know, I imagine the rest of the country is looking at this game and in a way being like, can we get some other teams in there? But unfortunately, in the AFC side, the answer has been, for the most part, a resounding no.
And the last time 2-1 seeds played in the Super Bowl, Philadelphia, New England. So Philadelphia, no stranger to the streets.
It's a new week in the NFL, which means it's time to take a look at the new injury report for the Chiefs.
All right, Pete, this might be our most important segment of the evening.
Yeah.
Because I can't get enough questions a day, and I'm not even you, man. Like, you're the most, I don't know, you're probably top three Chiefs beat guys in the entire city. Probably top two.
Got it.
And it's not two. To take a line from Tyreek, but this is the report that Chiefs have given out today. Let the people know who did not, who was limited, who won't, who's we're worried about the most.
Yeah, let's be clear here. The Chiefs didn't practice today, so these are estimations. Right. I've found, because they occasionally will do these estimations, if they do it usually for Thursday Night Football, because they don't practice on Monday. And what I have found is that it can look very different tomorrow. So take these with a grain of salt when they actually take the field, but the would not have practiced was Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kadarius Toney, Ladarius Sneed. Both Trey Smith and Willie Gay would have been limited. So, a couple of receivers there with the DNP.
What's most concerning, or who, I guess, is the most concerned name on that list for you, Pete Sweeney?
Probably Ladarius Sneed, even though the defensive backs had a nice night the other night. I think right there with him is Juju Smith-Schuster. Mecole Hardman and Kadarius Toney, I like these guys, but they feel like more luxury players than necessity, right?
Yeah.
You need the steaks, and maybe you get the mashed potatoes, but you got to have the steak or you're not eating dinner. Juju Smith-Schuster and Ladarius Sneed are steak guys, whereas Hardman and Toney are... Especially with the night that Sky Moore had the other night. You're feeling a lot better about that. So those concern me the most, Smith-Schuster and Sneed. And especially Sneed, because Smith-Schuster can get some treatment on this knee. We'll see. It has bothered him before. Concussions are just a little bit unpredictable. Right. So,
especially with today's protocol.
It's very hard to predict concussions and then illnesses. And Sneed has this concussion protocol. Again, the Chiefs are fortunate that this game isn't Sunday for that reason, because he's just such a key player. You'd love to see him back in the mix when you play the Eagles.
Is this why the Chiefs are +1.5 right now as the underdog in this game, or is it just because they look at team overall defense and offense, and whereas the offenses might be a wash, or maybe you take Philly over Kansas City, but the defense, Philadelphia, is substantially better than Kansas City?
I don't get the spread.
I don't either.
I really don't. I think it... You know, if you want to sell me on Pick'em, sure. But if some team is going to be favored, I think the Chiefs should be slight favorites. In my mind, I have the Chiefs -3. Like, that's how I see the game.
Mm-hmm.
And as you examine the Eagles, we don't pay a lot of attention to the NFC, so I've just started to do this week. And they haven't played anybody. You pull up their schedule, they really have not had a lot of impressive wins. Now,
but their division was really tough.
Now, what I'd tell you, though, is that against these lesser teams, they smack them. So, you know, you have that aspect where, okay, maybe you're not finding the big-time wins that the Chiefs have had leading up to this, but they were dominant performances. And so maybe the odds makers think that, that's going to be the way it happens again. Maybe the bettors feel that way too. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like by the time this thing kicks off, that there's going to be some sharp moves that make the Chiefs the favorite. I don't think this thing is staying there.
I think once they practice, that's where it moves. Philadelphia side, there's a lot of DNPs. No LPs, no plays, nothing. Philadelphia's injury report, if they were to miss, is quite intriguing as well.
Yep. You have Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Lane Johnson, Robert Quinn, and then Avante Maddox.
Foot/rest for Robert Quinn.
Rest, when they put rest on it, that usually indicates that they'll be back tomorrow. Yeah. And they all have rest. So this could be the Eagles playing with the injury report. The NFL, this is a little bit of a soapbox thing that I have. And
is this a Costanza moment?
The NFL needs to figure out these injury reports,
right?
Because not every team is treating them the same. They're really not. I mean, I said that about the Jaguars, and I've said it about the New England Patriots. The Chiefs, for the most part, do it by the book of, well, like you even saw on Friday.
Yeah.
I don't know if they love the idea of Travis Kelce's back thing getting out there, but it happened, right? So they put it on the injury report.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think every team follows it exactly right, which is just, it's a thing that annoys me that probably is not going to annoy people that don't work in the business.
Because now you have to write about it,
yeah,
right?
Just,
There it is.
Don't give me any extra work, right?
Okay.
I don't get paid by the word.
Oh, man. Speaking of somebody that gets paid by the views of the videotapes, Ron Kopp Jr., our lead analyst at, not ours, Pete Sweeney and Arrowhead Pride's lead analyst, lead field analyst at Arrowhead Pride. He'll join us next year on Arrowhead Pride Radio on a Wednesday night.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on 610 Sports Radio, Arrowhead Pride Radio night. It's Wednesday night. Big one upcoming here in about 10 days and less than 24 hours, like 10 days, 23 hours away from the Chiefs versus the Philadelphia Eagles in the big game. Never understood why you can't say it sometimes. Like there's like reasons and times that you can't say it.
Marketing stuff.
Yep. That's where our world is. Can't say Super Bowl until you say it now. Ron Kopp, Arrowhead Pride's lead analyst. Ron, how are you this evening? Are you a little bit more amped out after that game on Sunday night?
Of course. I mean, I was going to ask, can I not say Super Bowl? Are we not allowed to say Super Bowl on here? Because I'm going to say Super Bowl quite a few times, Dusty. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, this just reminds me of Ben. This reminds me of Ben Stiller saying bomb on an airplane.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, not that bad. Not that bad. No, man, it was heck of a night. I hope no one at Arrowhead gets mad at me that I snuck in a victory cigar to sweeten the moment as the confetti came down, because I was there. I was able to take in the moment, and it was great, man. I'm glad this team did it. There were some doubts, and the crowd felt it, but they came through as they usually do, guys. They usually do.
Speaking of the KCPD there, Dusty.
Yep. They were right behind me.
No one's listening, right? No police, yeah.
Nope. So you were kind of like Patrick Mahomes. So you were actually like Pat Mahomes, not Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
I mean, you know, there was a little, maybe a thought of taking a shot at Joe Burrow in that moment there. But, you know, a victory cigar is just a victory cigar. I mean, you got to have one every once in a while, you know, when you get a big dub. So
that's right.
I think it's just in general, no shot at Joe Burrow. Maybe a little bit, but.
Fair enough. So where I want to start this conversation is the fact that Patrick Mahomes down his top three wide receivers, and MVS really stepped up. What was he able to do that maybe he hadn't really done all season, or maybe very, very seldomly all season, but it seemed like he really figured something out in that second half and became the guy that a lot of people at the very beginning of the season said MVS was Mahomes' first number one.
Yep, including the man sitting with you, Pete Sweeney. He was definitely one of the first people on that. And the thing is, you saw the thing that happened was the Bengals really, and it's why you saw the Chiefs run game struggle so much. They really forced, they loaded the box, I should say. They really brought their safety up and really wanted the Chiefs run game to have trouble because I think, you know, Pat's ankle, I think they knew, you know, there's going to be some limitations there. And what that did was open up the seams in the outside sideline where MVS is best, right? That is where he excels. His strength in his game as a receiver is getting down the field, getting vertical, getting through physical coverage without breaking his speed, without breaking the timing of the route, and getting downfield. And honestly, you know, having a pretty good catch radius. We've had issues with him this season catching passes, but it seems like when he drops passes, it's more mental. They're the easy passes. He has the catch radius, and you saw it on a couple of those plays where he has to turn and adjust. And so that's where it wasn't just the injuries that forced MVS to step up. The Cincinnati Bengals were actually kind of giving them favorable looks for MVS on those corner routes. And again, that is where he's best. But at the same time, you talk about the injuries. He did have to step up when you saw the check down on a play, and he took it for 25 yards. You know, that's not usually his role. You know, he had the one play where he reaches out between, you know, while being tackled and gets the first down. He's not usually getting the underneath stuff and having to do any of that, you know. So, and obviously the touchdown is another great example of just a great catch. And so, MVS completely stepped up, was a huge – I called him the MVP of the offense for Sunday. I really think he was a big deal and feels himself as kind of an all-time Chiefs legend now, putting him in the Super Bowl.
So if it was MVS on offense, it was certainly Chris Jones on defense. What did you like in Chris Jones's game that maybe we didn't see that first time around?
Man, he was just on another level of ferociousness. I mean, you could just see it, and with his hands, with his legs, how fast they were churning, is just how rapidly he was trying to get away from blocks. I mean, it was just a man on a mission, and it was unbelievable to see. Honestly, I really think even if you had maybe a healthier offensive line, I'm not saying, you know, you put him against a Hall of Fame offensive line, he does the same thing, but even a good offensive line, I think he was going to wreck that game. And so it just, you know, multiplied by the fact that they had some inexperienced guys in there. Love the fact that Spags moved him around, and he even moved, you know, it sounds like sometimes Chris Jones is even moving himself around trying to get those matchups. And he just completely dominated the game. I mean, it really was, he was the biggest factor in the game completely, you know, offense or defense. And he definitely, you know, was you know, I think, you know, you look back at some of the most dominant postseason performances from a defensive lineman in history. I mean, it's going to go down in there, man. And I really feel like, you know, one thing that's kind of underrated to think about after a season that he's had like this is, you know, he's kind of put himself in the position to maybe be, you know, a Hall of Fame player one day if he continues on a certain trajectory. So Whoa. Games like this are going to put you in that conversation. So it was just an epic game. And I think we really need to recognize how epic it was.
Ron, this week, or I guess 10 more days, it's Chris Jones versus Jason Kelce. Is that a matchup that you're intrigued with, or is that one that is just one of those heavyweight bouts in this big-ass game?
Right. It is a heavyweight bout, but at the same time, you know, the Eagles are a team that, you know, haven't seen something like Chris Jones, you know, in terms of the inside. You know, the Niners have great edge rushers, right? And a lot of their, you know, the Cowboys have great edge rushers, but that's what makes Jones so unique about being an impactful defensive player is he does his work from a different position than most, you know, dominant pass rushers do. You know, it's just offensive lines, pass protections are used to being able to, you know, take advantage or, you know, defend, you know, from the edge, you know, guys that are really making impact at the edge. So, you know, that's where Jones really makes a difference. You know, yeah, the Eagles, you know, they've had a little bit of bang ups on their offensive line this last game. And I hate to tell you, you know, Jason Kelce's a great center, but, you know, it's not because he can man up and really, you know, take on a guy like Chris Jones and you know, beat him up. It's because, you know, he can move well and has the nimble feet. So he's going to have he's going to need a partner to deal with Chris Jones, and he will obviously with guards. But, yeah, you know, it's a heavyweight bout for sure. I mean, Chris Jones is going to give them all they can handle, I would say.
We just got our first information about this game today, Ron, and it's that estimated injury report. The estimated did not practice was Kadarius Toney, Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, and L'Jarius Sneed. Who on that list concerns you the most and why?
Man, I will say L'Jarius Sneed. I do think the Chiefs, I love how the rookie corner stepped up in the AFC Championship. There's no doubt about it. I think that was a great performance by all three of them. They all deserve a lot of credit. But when we just talked about that Chris Jones and the Eagles offensive line matchup, Chris Jones is not going to be able to maybe have that same sort of impact, you know, I'd say, against the Eagles, especially just because they're a more balanced team, and I think the quarterback run game will also kind of force the Chiefs defense to do some things. All that to say, Sneed's size and speed against a guy like A.J. Brown is going to be a huge part of this game. A.J. Brown is one of the best receivers in the NFL, but it's because he can move very well. He's very quick in space for how big he is, and that's exactly what Sneed is, right? You know, Sneed's a bigger, longer dude, you know, a very physical guy, but he's a cornerback and he can run. And so it's that's why he's such a good matchup. And they do have, you know, guys like Josh Williams, Jalen Watson that can try to match up physically. You know, they're longer guys. And, you know, McDuffie, obviously, you know, is just a great cover corner. But Sneed's size and just his overall ability as a defender, you know, he's so important to the defense. Against a guy like A.J. Brown, against the quarterback run game, too, I will just say, you know, him around the box is going to be important. So, yeah, it's definitely Sneed.
Well, Ron, we'll talk to you next Wednesday. It'll be a little bit more amplified because it'll be a game a little bit closer to our conversation. So I anticipate you'll be zoning in on this extra week to look at more in depth of the Eagles, or let, I guess, people know what you will be doing on this bye week before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna throw an extra film review out there on just Mahomes' game from Sunday, because you know, we do need to recognize that he had a very good game himself. But I just think there was enough. I had an MVS film review, and I think he deserved the spotlight for one piece. But no, you're right. Going ahead, man, I'm excited to dive into the matchup. The Eagles are a really good team, man. They're here for a reason. So I said it before the AFC Championship. Kind of looking ahead, if it was the Eagles, it's going to be a really, really hard game, and nothing has changed about that. So I'm excited for it.
RKJ, enjoy the week, and we'll look forward to talking to you next Wednesday here on Arrowhead Pride Radio.
All right, Dusty, Pete, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, have a good night, Ron. Ron Cobb Jr., lead film analyst at Arrowhead Pride. Pete, I'm interested to know because a pretty big figure stepped down today and another one is starting to step up the older he gets. So when we come back, I have two big questions for you both that involve Patrick Mahomes here on 610 Sports Radio. It's Arrowhead Pride Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Remember, at Arrowhead Pride, if you have a question for one Pete Sweeney this week, at Arrowhead Pride, or we'll let you get on the text line, 913-586-7610. Here on Arrowhead Pride Radio, Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens with you. It is a Wednesday night. Seems like a big, big tease this whole week before the Super Bowl. Not a fan of it.
You don't like the 2 weeks?
No, I mean, I do this year because of injuries, but it just seems way too long.
Right.
Seems like maybe we should play the game on a Saturday.
Hmm.
I mean, the NFL does a lot of rule changing at spur of the moment.
I have enjoyed the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania being on Saturday.
Smart, right? Especially this year, the Royal Rumble moving it from, especially if you're going to throw in guys like, what was it, Paul? Logan Paul? Was it Logan Paul?
Sure.
Yeah. Well,
he's a Saturday guy, yeah.
They're flying across the ring. Good point. That was nice.
Yeah, I think it could work. I would love to see Super Bowl Saturday. You'd have to cut off one day of that media craziness, but you're having 2 weeks anyway. It's not like you're cutting down rest by any means. And how great would it be to wake up and for most people not have to just go to work, whether it be tired?
I know. Tell me about it, man. It sucks.
Is that you?
I don't know. Sometimes. Depends.
Are you going to?
Depends on the schedule.
Are you not working at 2 a.m. after the Super Bowl?
Too? I hope not, man. I finally got, like, it's funny that Chris is here because, like, I finally got that AFC Championship game. Like, I didn't have to be here at 2 in the morning.
Sure.
Because the boss sent out the rundown. Well, at first he sent a rough draft rundown of like what we were going to do if the Chiefs won. And it was like, Dusty, Chris, 2 a.m. And I was like, man, again?
Yeah.
Like, not that I'm not happy that I get to talk sports with Chris and all that kind of stuff, because we'd make it work. But it's like, you got to tame yourself. And then they sent out the final rundown. It was like, no, you're going to do 5 hours in the morning, then you have the day.
Wow.
And Chris scared the living hell out of me.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because he texted me at like 10:30. He was like, what time are you going in? And I was like, man, I am not going to be there, Daddy. Like, no way, man. Wow. We are not going to be there tonight.
Doing a double shift, possibly.
Yeah, not a chance. Okay. And plus, there was no way. I mean, I'd had to Uber here.
Wow.
Well,
that's enough information.
Yeah. Okay, so Tom Brady hangs it up today.
Okay.
Mahomes, in the shadow of that, has been to five Super Bowl, or he's played in 5 years. He's gone to three Super Bowls. He's won one, lost one. We don't know this one's outcome yet, but are we witnessing, no rose-colored glasses, but are we witnessing the next one in sports? And then I have a follow-up question, Brad.
I don't think yet, and it's unfair. And I just think it's one of those is-what-it-is things. In the scope of American sports, everything's judged on championships. And Pat, unfortunately, is a guy that only has one at this stage. Now, if you ask me this same question 12 days from now, and that is two, I think we're a little closer there, but we're still maybe one or two away from putting him into that realm. You got to get somewhere in the vicinity to be considered. I feel that way about Andy Reid and Bill Belichick, too. And I think that these guys know it. I mean, you're judged so, and maybe you shouldn't be, but you're judged so much in a team game on whether or not you have X amount of Super Bowl rings. And while I look at Pat as Michael Jordan, I look at him as clearly the best player in the NFL, there's not going to be a Brady until there's another Brady that approaches the 4, 5, 6, 7 ring range.
So if he gets two, though.
Yeah, it's one closer.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's four is, I think, where we kind of sit back and we kind of look at what Patrick Mahomes has done in his first 5 years. Like, the guy's never played anything less than the AFC Championship game. He's going to win two MVPs. If he wins the Super Bowl, he'll probably win MVP. So he'd have two Super Bowl MVPs, two Super Bowl trophies, three total visits, two league MVPs, one offensive player of the year, 27 years old. Like, to me, that solidifies to me enough that with everybody else being retired, Aaron Rodgers is the next, and then that whole, like, class is completely gone. But that just kind of puts the spotlight to where it's like, no longer will we have the conversations of, is Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes this way? Is Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert? I think at this point, if he does win, big if he wins the second Super Bowl, I think it is Patrick Mahomes, and then I think you skip about two levels, and then you start your conversation.
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as active players go, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, in the grand scheme of anyone better than Brady, like,
no,
I look at the Jordan thing where, you know, he does have the six rings, and then you have people that are LeBron fans and then Kobe fans, and they have 4 and 5 respectively. They're in the neighborhood. So now those fans have an opportunity to be like, yeah, he might not have X amount of rings, but he's close. And here's why I think he's the best player of all time. If you're talking about just active players, to me, I mean, it's not much of a question, especially if Mahomes gets this win. It's not much of a question.
Yeah. The other thing I want to talk about is that now that Brady is gone, because I think even with Brady in the league, I mean, I really do believe this. I don't know why. I think that this is just who he is and the reputation that he's built. But is Patrick Mahomes now there's a minute 13 left in the game, I need one guy, player blank, to go down and win the game? Is he now officially that guy like Tom Brady was for so many years?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think in those hypothetical conversations that they need to have in March and, you know, as you get to May, where you have the roundtable on First Take or Get Up or whatever is on Fox Sports, and they're like, well, who do you want in that spot? I don't know how you couldn't say Mahomes after what he's been able to accomplish. When they put up those charts on social media and it's comparing quarterbacks when they're down, Mahomes is just so far of everyone else in NFL history when it comes to quality of performance when his team is down, record when his team is down X amount of points. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're trying to have a debate show and the script, which has been a hot buzzword this week, the script says, no, you got to take this side, maybe you get that conversation. But if you're being realistic, I don't know how you're picking anyone but Mahomes.
You okay with the crispy white look at the Super Bowl? Do you think they'll go white-white, or do you think they'll go white-red?
I know a lot of people care about this. I am
one of those people.
I'm not a big uniform guy. I would be stunned if they went white and white.
Really?
Stunned. Yeah, I just don't think that they will. I would love it. I think white on white with the Red Sox is their best possible look.
Because Philly's going all green, right?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I thought that was the rumor.
They might be. I don't know if they're going to do a color rush Super Bowl.
Boy, they should.
I just know that it took a long time for the Hunt family to be cool with using parts of their uniform with another part, right? Red on red and white on white. Like, they're a very traditional organization, very traditional family. And I believe that it all kind of stems from Lamar Hunt being that way. And, you know, like, this is a little bit morbid. Lamar Hunt can change his mind on that. He was very set. And I think that's part of these are the Chiefs. They're going to dress accordingly. And I just think you're not going to see the Chiefs with an alternate uniform in the Super Bowl. That's just my take on it. I hope I'm wrong. I think it'd be very, very cool and very, very clean to see the white on white with the Red Sox, but I just have a lot of doubts.
Because they wore red on white against San Fran, right? Or do they wear white against San Fran?
Red.
They wore red.
This Tampa, is the first time the white jersey.
I'd say Tampa,
yeah.
Red, and now they're going white.
Yeah, because Philly gets to pick, so they had to.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't going to do green and red. What is it? It's not Christmas.
Okay. But that's, yeah. That makes it easier if you think if you're like a player.
I think it's going to be a very clean looking game with the green and white.
Yeah.
I didn't, for what it's worth, I didn't love the way the Chiefs, 49ers, Chiefs, Bucks Super Bowls really looked aesthetically because their jersey colors are too similar. These are two distinct, separate colored jerseys. It'll look a little bit cleaner.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of dig the. I just hope they go white on white. That just looks a lot cleaner. I don't know. 913-586-7610. If you have a question or a thought or a concern for young Pete Sweeney, you can do it on the text line, or you can go to @ArrowheadPride on Twitter and ask away there. We get into your questions and do the Arrowhead Pride mailbag. We return on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Soon to have some mailbag questions for one Pete Sweeney. Give you some time to get him in here real quick. 913-586-7610. You are listening to the Arrowhead Pride Radio Show here on 610 Sports Radio. Chris Nocero running the operations. But that's not it. Luke's in there as well.
Luke.
Yeah. I am your father.
New Luke.
Yeah. New member of the band.
Mm.
It's like the E Street Band. They'll be in Kansas City in 17 days. Your boy will be there.
Where are they playing?
T-Mobile Center. I am so juiced. A lot of money on this concert.
Really?
Yeah.
Xavier better come back then, huh?
Tie game.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
With Pete Sweeney. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief of One Arrowhead Pride here on 610 Sports Radio. It's Arrowhead Pride Radio, but again, it's everybody's questions. Pete, maybe something that you skipped over. Text line, not happy with you. I think they should go white on white. I mean, the alternates is what they call them, but old Lenny Dawson Chiefs wore white on white all the time. That's from the 816.
Yeah, you know what? That's a fair point. I didn't actually think about it from that angle. And this, if there's ever a year to pay tribute, this would be it, right? So maybe they do go in that direction. That is probably a better chance in them going that way than maybe I was giving it credit for last segment.
From the 913. Hey, what might be the Chiefs' plan of attack against the Eagles? Is it anything like the game plan they had against the Cincinnati Bengals? Thanks, guys.
Man, it better be something similar to lining Chris Jones up in a number of different areas of that defensive line for that team to have confusion. I mean, he was on the edge 18 times. He was at different spots in the middle for a combined 29 times. He was out on the right edge a handful of times. Bengals didn't know what to do. So just line up Chris Jones as many different ways as possible. Let him go. On offense, you kind of got to see what your personnel is. I think the big thing that's beginning to jump out to me about the Eagles is their rushing attack. I think if you can find a way to stop that run, you put yourself in a good position, and pouring some points on would help them in that facet too.
This one's from Dylan on Twitter, or at Chiefs DXB. I don't know what that means. What do you reckon will be the biggest issue versus the Eagles? The rookie secondary or injuries or their run game?
I guess he's talking about the Eagles run game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the injuries. I just feel like if this team can be as healthy as they were entering the conference title game, regardless of who you're playing, I think the Chiefs are the best team. I know the Eagles have probably been a little bit more consistent as far as all year long.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can just get healthy and everybody can play and everyone feels healthy and it's not like anyone's going to be holding anything back, then I really like the Chiefs' chances.
This from the text line from the 785. Pete, is it time to rebuild the wide receiver room? Kelce is getting older, and Kadarius, Tony, and Juju seem fragile.
Well, I think the Chiefs were trying to do that with trying to get a wide receiver in Sky Moore.
Mm-hmm.
You saw them go to the veterans a little bit more this year, but you turn the page to next year. Juju's not under contract. McColl's not under contract. I think Sky's going to get more of an opportunity within the offense. Kadarius, it is concerning of how often he gets injured. And it's mm-hmm. a shame, too, because, Dusty, you've seen this. A healthy mm-hmm. Kadarius is a...
nasty.
It's a sight to see. And it's a shame that he just cannot find a way to stay on the field. I'm wondering about Kadarius for this game because we thought it was an ankle injury, but if you really look at that injury report today, it also lists the hamstring, which kept him out, for 5 or 6 weeks? So mm-hmm. I'm not as optimistic. If there's a player I'm least optimistic about right now, it's Kadarius Toney.
This is from Jesse Neener on Twitter, or Neener Jesse is at Neener Jesse. After MVS's dominant outing, do you think he should get more looks, even if a majority of the receivers are back?
No.
Okay.
I'm a fan of Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think he stepped up in a big spot. I think you still got to be going more to the guys who got you in this position. And, mm-hmm. and to me, that's Kelce and Juju and what became Isaiah Pacheco and guys like Jerick McKinnon. Now, if you're banged up, Marquez Valdes-Scantling proved that he can get the job done. I think his game only helps the variety that the Chiefs can bring to the table as far as their offense, where, you know, maybe there is a thought process. Look how well this guy played in the conference title. Maybe he could be a weapon for them, and it could open other things up as well. Every time someone else, you know, whoever it may be, has a good game, I think it just makes the Chiefs' offense more interesting.
This is from the text line from Twitter as well. At CBC Tom, it's kind of an answer probably already, but it says there seems to be a scarcity of information about the injury status of Schuster, Tony, Hardman. What's the expectation for when there will be an update, obviously?
So we've been talking a little bit about injuries mm-hmm. all show, and I gave a little bit of the analysis, but we'll get a little bit more of the definitive stuff tomorrow when we speak to Andy Reid. The plan is to talk to Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and a couple players tomorrow, and then more players and coordinators on Friday. And the good thing about this playoff bye, which I know is giving you some disdain, Dusty, is that they do put out an injury report. So we should get, in a way, a progress report as the week carries on.
So this is from me.
Oh.
At Dusty Likens on Twitter.
Okay.
How concerned are you with the field that they're playing on for the Super Bowl? Because this has got to give, like, Harrison Butker nightmares.
Well, you got George Toma out there. He's taking a look at it.
That's good.
I think it's got to be better than it was week one.
It's the biggest stage in the world right now. Like, there's not a bigger game outside of the World Cup than the Super Bowl.
You're referring to the Harrison Butker and Trent McDuffie turf monster.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it got that field, that first game, it had some Shakira Mexican vibes to it. Remember when
Mexico City?
The Chiefs were supposed to go down to Mexico City and there was a Shakira concert. They had to
move. Hits don't lie, baby.
And it seemed like something must have happened at that field before the game because it was bad. I mean, it wasn't just McDuffie and Harrison Butker. It was constantly slipping and sliding all game. I have to think that Andy Reid and company, who, if you remember, after that game, they were a little bit vocal in saying this needs to be better in more ways than one, where, you know, they weren't happy that they lost their first round pick and their kicker for so long. So my thought is this field will be in top notch condition by the time this game kicks off.
Yeah. This from the text line, Pete, when are you traveling to Glendale, Arizona?
Still working on figuring it out right now. I'd like to go on Sunday so I can be in a good position on Monday night mm-hmm. to go to the media night, which is a very popular event at the Super Bowl. But
you want to get turned up with your fellow friends.
Well, not on Monday night.
Sunday
all,
night.
All business. Well, no, I mean, you know, it's a work week. A lot of work to be done out there in Arizona.
Who's the one guy that everybody knows that like you kind of want to go kick it with?
Alex Gold, definitely.
I hate you.
You don't think that's a real answer?
No. I feel like he's a big bedtime by nine guy. Big day tomorrow, got a show. You know, I don't know if he's the guy you want to go out with and have to worry about what time it is consistently. Like, he's one of those guys. Just let it flow with the night, man.
My fellow Chiefs beat member. I'm sure Nate Taylor and I will get together out there at some point.
I feel like Nate could really
sure. Get it.
Do you have more confidence in McDuffie now after the numbers he put up against Jamar Chase going up against AJ Brown?
I had confidence in McDuffie before. That was,
but like at this level,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah. I think the Eagles controlling the game scares me more than individual receivers. That's why like the conference title game was a good test. You didn't want to lose Lajarius Sneed, but you did, and you were up against Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and a really potent Bengals offense, and to hold that team to 20 was really impressive. And McDuffie's just been nails. What a slam dunk pick. For years and years, we said that Brett Veach wasn't going to take a high-end day one cornerback, and for this first dart, he hit a bullseye.
Worried about the referee of the game?
Carl Sheffers?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes in these situations, these referee rivalries might be a good thing because, and let me explain, a lot of doubts.
Because they wore red on white against San Fran, right? Or do they wear white against San Fran?
Red.
They wore red.
This Tampa, is the first time the yeah, white jersey.
I'd say Tampa,
yeah,
red, and now they're going white.
Yeah, because Philly gets to pick, so they had to.
Yeah.
They weren't going to do green and red. What is it? It's not Christmas.
Okay. But that's, yeah. That makes it easier if you think if you're like a player.
I think it's going to be a very clean-looking game with the green and white.
Yeah.
I didn't, for what it's worth, I didn't love the way the Chiefs, 49ers, Chiefs, Bucks, Super Bowls really looked aesthetically because their jersey colors are too similar. These are two distinct, separate colored jerseys. It'll look a little bit cleaner.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of dig the. I just hope they go white on white. That just looks a lot cleaner. I don't know. 913-586-7610. If you have a question or a thought or a concern for young Pete Sweeney, you can do it on the text line, or you can go to @ArrowheadPride on Twitter and ask away there. We get into your questions and do the Arrowhead Pride mailbag. We return on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Soon to have some mailbag questions for one Pete Sweeney. Give you some time to get him in here real quick. 913-586-7610. You are listening to the Arrowhead Pride Radio Show here on 610 Sports Radio. Chris Nocero running the operations. But that's not it. Luke's in there as well.
Luke.
Yeah. I am your father.
New Luke.
Yeah. New member of the band. It's like the E Street Band. They'll be in Kansas City in 17 days. Your boy will be there.
Where are they playing?
T-Mobile Center. I am so juiced. A lot of money on this concert.
Really?
Yeah.
Xavier better come back then, huh?
Tie game.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
With Pete Sweeney. Editor-in-chief of One Arrowhead Pride here on 610 Sports Radio. It's Arrowhead Pride Radio, but again, it's everybody's questions. Pete, maybe something that you skipped over. Text line, not happy with you. I think they should go white on white. I mean, the alternates is what they call them, but old Lenny Dawson Chiefs wore white on white all the time. That's from the 816.
Yeah, you know what? That's a fair point. I didn't actually think about it from that angle, and this, if there's ever a year to pay tribute, this would be it, right? So maybe they do go in that direction. That is probably a better chance to, in them going that way than maybe I was giving it credit for last segment.
From the 913, hey, What might be the Chiefs' plan of attack against the Eagles? Is it anything like the game plan they had against the Cincinnati Bengals? Thanks, guys.
Man, it better be something similar to lining Chris Jones up in a number of different areas of that defensive line for that team to have confusion. I mean, he was on the edge 18 times. He was at different spots in the middle for a combined 29 times. He was out on the right edge a handful of times. Bengals didn't know what to do. So just line up Chris Jones as many different ways as possible. Let him go. On offense, you kind of got to see what your personnel is. I think the big thing that's beginning to jump out to me about the Eagles is their rushing attack. I think if you can find a way to stop that run, you put yourself in a good position, and pouring some points on would help them in that facet too.
This one's from Dylan on Twitter, or at Chiefs DXB. I don't know what that means. What do you reckon will be the biggest issue versus the Eagles? The rookie secondary, or injuries, or their run game?
I guess he's talking about the Eagles' run game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the injuries. I just feel like if this team can be as healthy as they were entering the conference title game, regardless of who you're playing, I think the Chiefs are the best team. I know the Eagles have probably been a little bit more consistent as far as all year long.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can just get healthy and everybody can play and everyone feels healthy and it's not like anyone's going to be holding anything back, then I really like the Chiefs' chances.
This from the text line from the 785. Pete, is it time to rebuild the wide receiver room? Kelce is getting older and Kadarius, Tony, and Juju seem fragile.
Well, I think the Chiefs were trying to do that with trying to get a wide receiver in Sky Moore.
Mm-hmm.
You saw them go to the veterans a little bit more this year, but you turn the page to next year. Juju's not under contract. McColl's not under contract. I think Sky's going to get more of an opportunity within the offense. Kadarius, it is concerning of how often he gets injured. And it's mm-hmm. a shame, too, because, Dusty, you've seen this. A healthy mm-hmm. Kadarius is a...
nasty.
It's a sight to see. And it's a shame that he just cannot find a way to stay on the field. I'm wondering about Kadarius for this game because we thought it was an ankle injury, but if you really look at that injury report today, it also lists the hamstring, which kept him out, for 5 or 6 weeks? So mm-hmm. I'm not as optimistic. If there's a player I'm least optimistic about right now, it's Kadarius Toney.
This is from Jesse Neener on Twitter, or Neener Jesse is at Neener Jesse. After MVS's dominant outing, do you think he should get more looks even if a majority of the receivers are back?
No.
Okay.
I'm a fan of Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think he stepped up in a big spot. I think you still got to be going more to the guys who got you in this position. And, mm-hmm. and to me, that's Kelce and Juju and what became Isaiah Pacheco and guys like Jerick McKinnon. Now, if you're banged up, Marquez Valdes-Scantling proved that he can get the job done. I think his game only helps the variety that the Chiefs can bring to the table as far as their offense, where, you know, maybe there is a thought process. Look how well this guy played in the conference title. Maybe he could be a weapon for them, and it could open other things up as well. Every time someone else, you know, whoever it may be, has a good game, I think it just makes the Chiefs' offense more interesting.
This is from the text line from Twitter as well. At CBC Tom, it's kind of been answered probably already, but it says there seems to be a scarcity of information about the injury status of Schuster, Tony, Hardman. What's the expectation for when there will be an update, obviously?
So we've been talking a little bit about injuries mm-hmm. all show, and I gave a little bit of the analysis, but we'll get a little bit more of the definitive stuff tomorrow when we speak to Andy Reid. The plan is to talk to Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and a couple players tomorrow, and then more players and coordinators on Friday. And the good thing about this playoff bye, which I know has given you some disdain, Dusty, is that they do put out an injury report. So we should get, in a way, a progress report as the week carries on.
So this is from me.
Oh.
At Dusty Likens on Twitter.
Okay.
How concerned are you with the field that they're playing on for the Super Bowl? Because this has got to give, like, Harrison Butker nightmares.
Well, you got George Toma out there. He's taking a look at it.
That's good.
I think it's got to be better than It was week one.
It's the biggest stage in the world right now. Like, it's there's not a bigger game outside of the World Cup than the Super Bowl.
You're referring to the Harrison Butker and Trent McDuffie turf monster.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it got that field, that first game, it had some Shakira Mexican vibes to it. Remember when
Mexico City?
The Chiefs were supposed to go down to Mexico City and there was a Shakira concert. They had to
Hits
move
don't lie, baby.
And it seemed like something must have happened at that field before the game because it was bad. I mean, it wasn't just McDuffie and Harrison Butker. It was constantly slipping and sliding all game. I have to think that Andy Reid and company, who, if you remember, after that game, they were a little bit vocal in saying, this needs to be better in more ways than one, where, you know, they weren't happy that they lost their first round pick and their kicker for so long. So my thought is this field will be in top-notch condition by the time this game kicks off.
Yeah. This from the text line, Pete, when are you traveling to Glendale, Arizona?
Still working on figuring it out right now. I'd like to go on Sunday so I can be in a good position on Monday night to go to the media night, which is a very popular event at the Super Bowl. But
you want to get turned up with your fellow friends.
Well, not on Monday night.
Sunday night.
All business. No, I mean, you know, it's a work week. A lot of work to be done out there in Arizona.
Who's the one guy that everybody knows that, like, you kind of want to go kick it with?
Alex Gold, definitely.
I hate you.
You don't think that's a real answer?
No. I feel like he's a big bedtime by nine guy. Big day tomorrow, got a show. You know, I don't know if he's the guy you want to go out with and have to worry about what time it is consistently. Like, he's one of those guys. Just let it flow with the night, man.
My fellow Chiefs beat member, I'm sure Nate Taylor and I will get together out there at some point.
I feel like Nate could really
sure. Get after.
Do you have more confidence in McDuffie now after the numbers he put up against Ja'Marr Chase going up against AJ Brown?
I had confidence in McDuffie before. That was,
but like at this level,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah. I think the Eagles controlling the game scares me more than individual receivers. That's why, like, the conference title game was a good test. You didn't want to lose L'Jarius Sneed, but you did. And you were up against Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and a really potent Bengals offense. And to hold that team to 20 was really impressive. And McDuffie's just been nails. What a slam dunk pick. For years and years, we said that Brett Veach wasn't going to take a high-end day one cornerback. And for this first dart, he hit a bullseye.
Worried about the referee of the game?
Carl Cheffers?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes in these situations, these referee rivalries might be a good thing because, and let me explain, because I know fans are worried about this. I think it's so out there and such a thing by this point that he might go above and beyond to prove that there isn't a vendetta against the Chiefs, where the Chiefs might get some calls because of it. So I don't think fans should be that worried about Carl Cheffers. There's no way on the biggest stage the trend of messing with the Chiefs is going to continue.
I mean, that man cried in Arrowhead.
It's too much in the open, and people are too aware of it. So
okay.
That's my theory. I'm going to stick with it.
My last question, because I haven't asked you about this. What do you think about the Monday after everyone blaming refereeing on this game? Like, for the first time,
yeah,
it's not Chiefs fans. Like, I get it. Like, when they played New England in 2018 and Edelman 100% touched that football on that punt return, it showed in slow motion his thumb moving, and they didn't give the Chiefs the ball or that touchdown they scored. It was, hey, well, this. And then in overtime, hey, we didn't get to touch the ball. Like, well, that's unfair. And now it's like the refs want, like, you saw the picture of Mahomes and the referee doing the jersey exchange.
I think what should be annoying to Kansas Cityans and Chiefs fans is if you see another NFL change this offseason, which I would not be stunned because of how upset the fans in general were this year, Chiefs fans included, about the entire year of officiating. You see them go to more full-time officials and just getting that a little bit shored up, because I just don't think you ever want to be in a situation where people are so often questioning the refereeing. Yeah.
What do you got going up with this week? Obviously, you got to pack. You got to get your toothbrush ready.
Yeah,
got to get the car. Got to get the car tuned
up. Trying to figure out this.
Don't forget that important step.
Trying to figure out this Arizona stuff out. Get packed up. We'll be at Arrowhead tomorrow for media. So we'll be getting some new quotes and stuff on the website tomorrow. So check that out. And then, yeah, eventually at some point here, hope to be headed down to Arizona and continue the coverage down there. And we'll see what ends up happening here with the Kansas City Chiefs looking for their second Super Bowl title in 4 years.
Whole week in Zona. You taking the sticks? Going to maybe play around?
Taking the sticks.
Yeah, golf clubs?
No.
Okay. Too busy?
No time. No time for golf. I wish. Maybe I'll head back there.
So will you be the guy on radio? Like, you think you and McAfee will link up?
I don't know.
Because you guys are boys.
Sure. Sometimes. Sometimes we'll talk, but I don't know. We'll see what happens when you get down there. You got to get down there first. That's the key. And you get your bearings.
Well, I can't wait for your big boss to say that it's okay that I go with you and they fund it for both of us. That'll be really awesome.
You want to sneak in the car?
I would in a heartbeat. You know I would. This is not me trying to sell this to the listeners. I would 100% ride with you all the way down. And it'd be the best trip of your life.
I don't know about that.
I guarantee it.
Okay.
You seen The Last of Us?
I love it.
That'd be you and I.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
Going and like protecting the world is what I mean.
Yep.
All right. It's Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Arrowhead Radio. Coming up next, it's After Hours. We got you for 2 hours on 610 Sports Radio.